Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
There we go. So we are going to get back into our study for the week. If you've not been with us, we are in the book of Romans. And we have been through 1 through 11. We just did that last week. And we're going into 12, and we're going to have a little bit more of a turn again. Again, Romans is a deep letter. It can be a challenging letter. It goes into some really deep theology areas as well as deep areas of our lives. And we have been through righteousness, unrighteousness, how serious sin is to God, wrath of God, judgment of God, again, heavy stuff. Then we talked about the gospel and that through Jesus Christ that we can have that all paid for us through his beautiful gift of his coming to earth, living this perfect life, dying on the cross, raising again for us, and offers us salvation so that we don't have to live like that. We don't have to be in that bondage anymore. And not just for the sake of going to heaven someday, but so that we can move past a worldly life or even a lukewarm life into kingdom of God living, which is what this painting here behind me represents. We've been talking about it for a couple of years. That basically is the overall theme of that, is living the kingdom of God living now and not just about heaven benefits. And so he is going to take us through that aspect. Now he's got that foundation of that unrighteousness leads to the gospel when we accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in our lives, meaning we not just accept that forgiveness, but you're God and I'm not, and I'm following you, and that should lead us to freedom of that kingdom of God life. We've also looked at another model of this that he explored to us, that oftentimes people get caught up with the unrighteousness of the gospel, and then they justify sin because they still like those things in their lives, and then that leads to lukewarm living or hypocritical Christianity. So that's kind of the foundation he's built. And he's kind of taking this roadmap through it. And now we have another roadmap where, another turn in the roadmap where we're going to talk about some very practical Christian living things, mindsets that maybe you haven't looked at before, areas of life that maybe we haven't talked about so much in the church as before, that will get pretty in depth. So we're going to go back to Romans 12. If you've got your Bibles with you, let's go ahead and turn there now. And there's Bibles around the room and baskets underneath the chairs. You can use one of those. You can take one of those. You can keep one of those. If you want a nicer Bible and you don't have one and can't afford one, let me know. I've got some other Bibles that might hold up better for you back in the office. And then there's also YouVersion up and running. YouVersion is a national app. It's a free app that you can download on your phone. And then you can look at local live events, and one will say TSF and today's date. And you hit that, it'll give you all the scriptures, place to take notes, all that kind of fun stuff. But it's going to be a little bit of a different feel than last week. Usually we read a little, talk a little, so we take and read a lot, talk a little, whatever the case may be. Today we're going to definitely read a little and we're going to talk a lot. Bless you, Matthew. So in chapter 12, I'm on the wrong page here, he's going to continue. And we're going to, like I said, read a little, talk a lot. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And we're going to stop there for now. A matter of fact, last week, if you were with us, we covered three chapters in one sitting. If you were here, that there was like a flow that went over all three chapters, I want to make sure we kept it. Today, we're going to do the exact opposite. We're going to spend our entire study time on two verses. And so this is the first that we have within that. And the reason I want to do that is these two verses, first off, are chock full enough. They've got just very strong, encouraging truths within them for us. And I want to make sure we capture all of it. When I first sat down and did the study and looked at chapter 12, I was like, okay, it's got a good flow. I kind of see where Paul's going. I see what the Holy Spirit's doing. And I thought we were going to capture the whole thing. But then when I went through these two, it just kept on being this nagging, like, we just can't pass over that too fast. That this really is not just the turn in the road, but kind of the next step of foundation into where he's going to be leading us within these applications within our lives. So I did what I usually do. I've sat down and I with paper and pen, start journaling thoughts, what stands out to you. Again, that's my favorite way to do Bible study. Got some things down, but just felt like there was even more there. And so my next step after that is I usually get into some commentaries to talk about this and kind of get some different perspectives or different outlooks. And that usually brings a bullet point in here or brings in a quote that I like there type thing to kind of fill in some things. But there's a commentary, if you want to write this down for those who like to do studies, it's called the Enduring Word Bible Commentary. There's a lot of O's in there, so let me say that again. The Enduring Word, W-O-R-D, Bible Commentary. And I say that because for this first verse, that commentary really helped me slow down and look at this a little bit more in depth. For instance, just breaking down the words and how he plays them together. Therefore, whenever we find the word therefore or but or because or then, these are words that whenever you're in the scripture, capture them, look at them. Therefore means because of everything we just talked about, everything from 1 through 11, because that's now on the plate. Now that that foundation is in front of you, now that you have these things all set and ready to go, now I can move you here. Now I can talk about this. Now I can encourage you this way. And I know you can get annoyed with the pastor. He's like, this is why it's so important to really be into the studies weekly with us. Whether or not you're here or online, again, here you get Christian community, online you don't. But they build as we go through these series, and Paul builds on what he has. So therefore, because of them being unrighteousness that leads to the gospel, that should lead to freedom instead of justification that keeps us in sin. Therefore, because of this, now I can move forward with you into another area. Does that make sense? So therefore, because of these things that we have talked about, I can now appeal to you. I can now appeal to you. Appeal means I can now beg you, I can now encourage you, I can now cry out to you to do something that is your choice. Everything that we've talked about so far, you either can lean into it or not. And because of all the good news and all the crappy stuff that I've already shared with you, I'm begging you, you make the choice to lean into the gospel, to go into freedom. So if we slow this down, now that kind of gets like a little bit more of a personal aspect of things that we can move forward in and look at. For instance, I just jotted down my notes. God calls us to make a choice about the way we live for him. It's not, I think a lot of times we think that it's just the world beating us up and I just don't know what to do. He calls us to make a choice to lean into Jesus, to accept Jesus, live, forgive our lives, and then live by the model that he has given us. And that can be tough, but we can do this because of the mercies of God. I cannot live a freedom life in and of myself, but because of the mercies of God that he has shared with us, therefore, now I've got something that I realize that it's not just about me, that there's a lot more that I have been blessed with, a lot more that I have access to, a lot more that I can focus on instead of just feeling like I'm drowning all the time of running into the ditch. The things he's talked about so far, justification from the guilt and penalty of sin, adoption in Jesus and your identification with Christ as a child, placed under grace and you're no longer under law, giving the Holy Spirit to live within us. That is, since Jesus died and rose again, that we have the Holy Spirit within us when we accept Jesus as leader and forgiver in our lives, that we have promise of help in all of our affliction, that we have the assurance of standing in God's election, we have confidence of coming glory, confidence of no separation from the love of God, confidence in God's continued faithfulness. So, when I go back to these other things, when he's talking about by the mercies of God, it's not just I choose, but I choose so because of the power of Jesus Christ. You still with me? So all this works together. Here's one of those quotes from a commentary I told you about. William Reed Newell. How many people have heard of him? I never have. Okay, he died back in the 50s. So, sorry, William. But he had a great quote that we must believe that these divine mercies have persuasive powers over our wills. If I've been given all that by God, it must have power in my life. So when I'm trying to make the right choice or the wrong choice or whatever the case may be, and that can be a very overwhelming moment. It's not just about if I'm going to sin in this moment. It's whether or not Also, I'm going to make a choice that will lead me on the wrong path because I know I shouldn't be with them, but I really love them, or I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I really enjoy it, and I'm just blown off steam, whatever the case may be. We must believe that the divine mercies that God has given us gives us some kind of power through Jesus Christ to be able to live by the mercies of God. Still with me? It all builds on top of each other. It all builds on top of each other. Next thing he tells us is what? Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Think about that for a second. Present yourself as living sacrifices. A sacrifice, and I'm going to come back to that, is when you give up something important or valued for the sake of other considerations. Okay, leave that up there for a second. A sacrifice is something we Christians do because God has something better if we let go of it. It is not a sacrifice if you're happy about it or if it's easy. That's just a, okay. A sacrifice is when I know I should not be gossiping. But when I get in the break room at work and everybody's together, I just kind of feel like I'm in with the crowd, feel like I'm in the know. I kind of like being the one that knows something nobody else knows. But God told me that's not appropriate, so I'm going to give it up. I'm going to sacrifice. It's going to be something that I give up for the sake of another consideration. If I'm in a premarital sexual relationship, I know it's not what God wants, but I enjoy having that intimacy with that other person. But I'm going to sacrifice for what's right with the Lord. I'm going to give it up for another consideration. We as Christians, if there's never been a time in your life when you gave up something that hurt a little bit for Jesus, you might have some areas you can grow in. You might have some areas to grow in. Because the very definition of being lukewarm Christianity, or lukewarm Christian, or hypocritical Christian is, yeah, I love God, but I'm still going to do what I want. I'm not going to put it that way, but I'm still going to do what I want. And he's calling us to be the opposite of that. If it is a sacrifice that you are giving, it also means it's a priestly role that you're doing. That this is an act of you as a minister of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's a sacred role that you are doing. And it's a complete sacrifice as part of that. The wording that's used here and what he's talking about here is talking about what's holy and acceptable to God. Okay, so that's going to be the next one I'm going to bring within that. But it's also a complete. So when we're looking at holy, the other word that comes from that root cause is whole, right? We're just putting a W on the front of it, whole. And when you have a whole sacrifice, you're looking at burnt offerings. If you're going back to the Old Testament or the Old Covenant or the old way of doing things before Jesus fulfilled the law. And with a burnt offering, it was unique from other offerings in the fact that in a burnt offering, every single part of the animal being sacrificed was consumed by fire and turned to ash. There was other sacrifices that you could do that part of it would be sacrificed and the other half would be cooked and you and the priest would eat it together as part of your sacrifice. But now with the burnt offering, it's a complete and it's a whole living sacrifice. So if it's completely dead, the living part comes into, it's alive when I bring it and it stays alive on the altar because I'm constantly doing it. Does that make sense? So we've got this whole beautiful sacrifice aspect of things. When we talk about the Old Covenant, we talk about the aroma of the burnt offering being breathed in by God, and he found it to be a pleasant and a sweet because of the attitude behind it, aroma. If you look in the New Testament, do you know what he breathes in now as an aroma? Our prayers. I love that in the scripture. He actually breathes in our prayers and actually makes it a part of him. That's how intimate our God is with us. But so is our sacrifice that we bring in, that he breathes us in. So we make a decision for holiness. We have a yielding to holiness. We have one that is just absolutely acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship, according to the scripture. This is your spiritual act of worship. I love worship through music. I love our team. I love all the people that are in and out of the team as week goes on. And it's part of my worship. You guys might like Caleb. I'm kind of more of the message on Sirius XM kind of guy. and that might really encourage you throughout the week and point you to Jesus or help you out. That's awesome. That's great. Scripture-wise, your spiritual act of worship is verse 1 of this chapter. Your spiritual act of worship is verse 1. Because of the mercies of God, because that he has offered me grace, because he has died and rose again for me, because he's intimate and walking with me step by step in my life as I follow him and continue to try to follow him, because this is true, and if I accept Jesus as leader and forgive my life, which again is a conscious choice on my part, and I choose to continue to lean into his teachings and his ways, and I can do that because God is merciful, and he has given me the ability to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit that resides within me, and I present my body, and body is not just my physical self, it is myself. He's talking about a complete picture. So I'm bringing myself into it, and I offer that to God as a living sacrifice, so giving up things of myself so I can have the fullness and the better of what my dad has for me, and I'm living a life that's holy and acceptable to God. That's my act of worship. Does that make sense? That's where our freedom comes from. Now, Paul being Paul, Paul is still mindful that we're kind of goofballs. And so verse 2 immediately goes back into justification of how we justify sin in our lives, trying to get past the truth of the fullness of this into what we want it to be so that it's easier or that it's watered down or that I can still have things in my life that is not God's best. Here's what he goes to. So he gives the full picture like he does with the freedom, and then here's the part for the justification. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Do you see how that he's talking about the justification? Now here's the freedom, but I know we're going to kind of go back. We try to water things down to make it easier. He doesn't want us to do that. So there's kind of a three-loaded picture that he gives us here, another system, if you would, of how things work when we go into justification. The problem is we tend to lean towards being conformed to the world and its mentality and trying to find happiness or a shortcut or an easy fix through the world's aspects of things. I threw up there Galatians. It's just one snippet out of a ton of, about worldly mentality when it comes to Scripture. But Galatians 5:19 through 21 says this: Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things like this. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is the worldly way of living. That's broken into several different aspects of things. You've got several in there that are more of the sexual nature, religious in nature, how you treat your neighbors, lack of self-control in yourself, are all within that. All the general categories where he's talking about how the world things or how the world works. And these are the type of things from those root causes that lead us usually into justification of sins. But I want what I want, right? But he say, don't be like that. You are not here at the kingdom of God. Again, make sure you understand that that phrase of the kingdom of God is more than just heaven. I could have a little bit of a theological debate with somebody if I actually cared to get into a debate on it, on whether or not you mess up in these areas where you get to go to heaven someday. Well, again, I can talk to you the gospel, the salvation power of Jesus Christ. But I don't think that's fully what Paul's saying here when he wrote the letter to Galatia. I think what he's saying is if you live like this, you're not going to get this. The kingdom of God living today. It's not just about the future. It's about how I am today. If I'm locked up, if I'm stressed out, if I'm anxious, if I'm depressed, if I'm overwhelmed, if I feel alone. Those type of things come into place. When I do this, it leads me out of where God wants me to be and where he designed me to be. So, of course, it's not going to work well. But then he gives us the fix. The fix is to be transformed by the renewal of your mind. By the renewal of your mind. Renew, put a definition up there. Replace something that is broken or worn out. Resume after an interruption. Okay? We're talking about renewal of the mind. I found a long time ago, I'm going back probably 14, 15 years ago, now that myself and other people, again, being in the role that I am, I get to, you know, meet with a lot of different people in different communities and different things and whatnot, that I believe it's true for all of us. Somebody can talk to me afterwards if you disagree with me. But I think we all go through seasons where we just get a little bit off base mentally, and it impacts how we see everything else. So, you know, we talked about all kinds of different sin areas. So I wanted to kind of pick something new, but I think it plays out a lot in relationships. Have you ever been in a place where, like, you have somebody that you love or you care about or you like seeing when you get to see them and everything? They're a little quirky, a little different, but that's just part of who they are. You just love them, want to give them a big hug. And then something clicks, and the next thing you notice, all that quirky stuff is just annoying the living crap out of you, and you don't like to be around them, and it just seems like they're doing it on purpose just to annoy you now. And you have you been there? Anybody? Come on, tell the truth. If it's your spouse, go ahead and say it. Okay, I think it's normal for all of us. And the problem probably isn't the other person. The problem is probably something that happened in me that put me into that mindset, because they haven't changed their actions at all. They are who they are, but I've gotten into this weirdness where I just, it's a friction, it's just this grinding of my teeth when you see them or when Jenny sees me. So, another area that I've looked at is like, there's other things where, do you ever notice like if you have a sin that you struggle with, okay, and you get away from it for a while, it's really, you kind of get in the zone where like, okay, this is, things are going good, I'm not thinking about that much, anything else. And then you partake of it, then now it's harder to get away from it again. Ever notice that? Liars. Nobody's shaking their head, yes. Sometimes you get an image of either that person or that sin, and you get it stuck in your head, and you can't get past it and get rid of it. You ever been there? This is, I think, one of the many things that Paul's talking about here, is that I need to take a pause, and I need a renewal. And that's what I was talking about like 14, 15 years ago. I remember it was probably the first time that I just had this thing cycling in my head, and I just prayed, God, can you just renew my mind? Because I'm not being able to capture this. I'm not being able to stop this. Can you just renew my mind? And we'll pray over it diligently, and then find that a couple of days later, I can't even really remember what I was cycling on, or find freedom from it. Or find that it's so deep-rooted I needed to get a brother or sister in Christ and get some other people around me that would love on me to help me renew my mind. But if you've got somebody who's driving you nuts, it might be that you just need to take a breath. You just need to let there be an interruption. Talk to Dad about it. Maybe you need to talk to him about it, but to be honest, sometimes I think the worst thing you do is talk about it because you're trying to get them to fix what's wrong in you. Just depends on the situation. But to replace it because it's broken and it's worn out. So if I don't want to be like the world, I need to be able to take those breaks and be able to bring it to the Lord. And then the effect of that is the kingdom of God living now. Kingdom of God living now. I can move past that lukewarm living, that hypocritical living. You can know the will of God according to what Paul puts here. And this I'm going to go on a side rant. I've talked about this a few times. But I'll tell you, I think verse 1 tells you how your spiritual worship is. Verse 2 tells you how you can know the will of God. Because we make some assumptions when we say we know what God wants us to do sometimes that are not always based on the most solid foundation. I think when you're kind of chair 2, maybe moving in chair 3, for those who have been around for that series, we count on circumstances a lot to try to figure out what God wants us to do. I've been thinking about getting a new job. I got a phone call with an offer. It makes more money. That must be God. I'm tired of not dating anybody. And I met this girl at the bar. Okay, just to let you know, that's a little bit of fact. At the bar, and it just seems perfect. And she says she loves God and goes to church, even though she hasn't been to church and really doesn't want to follow Christ's teachings in her life. You know what I mean? Like, there's just little red flags here and there. Satan can manipulate circumstances as much as God can. So let's say you go for that job because you get a little bit more money. You think it's the will of God. Well, next thing you know, you're working a stupid amount of hours. You're tired all the time. You can't be around Christian community, so you're not getting refilled at all. Satan's sucked that out of your life. And you're there for 4 or 5 months, and then they go through layoffs, and you lose your job, and you don't have anything where the other job is stable. Satan sets us up for bondage all the time as well. According to this, it tells us that when we are transformed by the renewal of our mind, and we get the ways of the world out of our thinking, and we put God first, living kingdom of God now, then we have, okay, God, what do you want instead of what I want, or what the world thinks I should have? Then we have the ability not to know God's will, like it comes out of the burning bush experience, which, again, I would love to have happen. So much easier that way. But then we can test to know God's will. So now I know that God's first, then I can go to that interview, and he might reveal a couple of things. Then I can talk to my friends, and he might reveal a couple of things. Then I can kind of go up against the walls and kind of see what's God and what's not God, according to Paul. So here, it's a great voice when you're talking about knowing the will of God. And then when it comes to knowing the will of God, let's come back to Wednesday night. We have a book club here at the church. It's still open. We're just a couple of weeks into it. We're going through different heroes of the faith and what we can learn from their lives into our lives today. And this past week, we talked about Esther. And man, if you've not read Esther in a while, it's 10 chapters. I think it took me like 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Dan, would you be about that? Does that sound about right? Just chocked full of nuts. I mean, just all kinds of good stuff in the life of Esther. And if you want some commentary on, I think I did a study a couple years ago that's on our YouTube page on women of the Bible and their stories and their testimonies, and Esther's one of those. You can find that pretty easy. But one thing that we noticed when we were going through the life of Esther is that when it came to who she was as a Jewish girl who was an orphan being raised by her uncle, and the Jews were being suppressed at that point. So it's kind of a scary time. And then she gets pulled out of her house with many other women across the nation to be, interviewed to be the next queen. And so she loses everything again. And she is the one that's selected, and she becomes queen. And now she's got a husband that she can't even go see unless if he calls her first. Well, she goes into his presence, and he doesn't find that acceptable. She gets killed. Not the best place to be. But God, and through Mordecai and through the circumstances, calls her to take and go to the king to stand up for the people for extermination of the Jewish nation, and she's terrified. But then we find that once she knows what the will of God is, once she's there, then she's empowered, she has boldness, she goes forward She has a strategic nature to her that we have not seen in her before. Because once you know what the will of God is for your life and for your day, you can go forward with purpose and empowerment instead of just feeling like you're being smashed up against the rocks all the time. Does that make sense? So another beautiful system he gives us. The problem is when we try to conform to be the world, the fix is not to do that and be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within you. And then to be able to live the kingdom of God living now. And you can know the will of God. And the will of God is going to be threefold. If you want to write this down, if you think God's calling you something and it's not good, it's not God. If it's not acceptable to God, it's not God. And if it's not perfect according to God's word, it's not God. He gives us that as well. So within that, I found this interesting with that initial commentary that I had. There's another guy you've never heard of before named J.B. Phillips. And he wrote like his version of verses 1 and 2 to kind of make it applicable to his understanding. And what he wrote was this: with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, my sisters, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. He's taking these two verses that go into these different life areas of application by saying, please, at this point, just stop and think, what is your choice? We have been in this study now for, I would guess, 3 months. and everything that we have covered, everything that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart on any particular Sunday, we're like, yeah, I know this, or yeah, I need to recommit to this, or those types of things. As we get ready to talk about the applicable, are you willing to make a choice for Christ in such a way that you want to present yourself and grow in a holiness that you're not always perfect, there's no such thing, but you're growing in your holiness? And when you fall on your face, you get back up. When you skin your knees, you talk to your daddy about it, and you keep on moving on, and you dig in a mindful, priority way into your Christian walk and what God has for you instead of the life that we've tried to shape for ourselves. If you remember, when we first started this study, and I brought it up, I think, once since then, at the very beginning, I asked you guys to write on paper an area of your life or a sin in your life, maybe two or three if you want, but I asked for one, that you continue to struggle with, that you really wanted freedom over. You really just wanted to have freedom over. And you put them in envelopes, and we brought them up to the altar. I still have those unopened back in my office. We're still going to bring these back to you at the end of the study. We still have a purpose for all of that. But first, for this moment, can you remember what you had in that envelope? And if you weren't here for it, just do it now in your head. What is one of the areas you've really been struggling with that keeps putting you back into bondage? I implore you, please choose the freedom of Jesus Christ. That's all Paul's saying. And it might hurt a little. You might have to make some tough decisions because we put ourselves in the places where we're not supposed to be right now. We got to get out of them. But you choose. You either choose Jesus to be leader and forgiver in your life, and then you choose to continue to let him be leader and forgiver in your life. To have the freedom of God. A while back, had a word just put on my heart. This is a couple of years ago, and I wrote it down on a post-it note and sitting up on my desk, like hanging at my desk, so I can look at it at my home office. But the word was lather, and the definition of lather is a state of agitation or nervous excitement that covers something with a liberal amount of something. And I remember at the time, I knew that it had to do about prayer and the power of prayer. I still don't know exactly why it came up or where it does in the season, but definitely at that time, and continues to encourage me to lean into the power of prayer and to believe in the power of prayer. And so I guess what I would encourage you to do as I bring the worship team up is to consider your choice, but also to consider the power of prayer over that choice. And not let it just be a little prayer on the way to work or a little prayer as you're falling asleep, but to lather over your life prayer, dear God, help me with this. Thank you for your mercies, and may I not take them for granted. And lean into them for a life that's different.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.